On Saturday night, I was away from a computer, so I had my phone out, and the Twitter on the phone is great. It really comes with everything's quick and easy, whatever.
When I tweet, that's how I tweet.
Tweet from the phone.
I do.
But sometimes you just see what's on the phone screen. I don't scroll down so much. So here I was. I see a Dejan Kovacevic tweet, and he says, how many people that are complaining about the fact that this game isn't on TV, the Pirate Game of Saturday Night, have actually go to the games? So I was like, wait a second. What does that have to do with anything? So I didn't yell at him, but I said, what does this have to do with anything? And he goes, scroll down, doofus, and take a look.
Did he call you doofus?
No, he didn't say that at all. No, he was very polite. So scroll down, Greg, explain it. So I said, I'm sorry, Dejan. I apologize. So make sure when you're tweeting from your phone, you don't take tweets out of context.
Right.
Because then you could get yourself in trouble. So we welcome in now on the Rivertown Hotline. Dejan, do you forgive me?
Scroll down, Greg.
Scroll down, Greg. So
nobody scrolls down on Twitter. It's the single greatest deficiency of the thing. You'll say something or you'll explain something, and then 5 minutes later, the first reply you'll get on Twitter is, "Hey, what about this?"
Right. It's very true, and I'm usually good with that, but on the phone, I was not. So I will forever now scroll down from my experience.
Scroll down, Greg.
With Dejan on Twitter. So let's talk about Saturday night and all the elements that went into the sellout. What do you think was the biggest factor in that crowd?
Honestly, I think when you really condense it, it was just a beautiful day. I think that people are comfortable with the idea that on a nice sunny day, like that, they know there's a Saturday night game. The Pirates have been playing better a little bit. They had 7,000 walk-up ticket sales, which is not something that it's very, very rare at PNC Park. I saw people, guys, downtown, and not just the Tigers fans. I saw people wearing Pirates jerseys walking around downtown as early as 1 or 2 o'clock. The lots were getting filled with people, even over in the Heinz Field direction, tailgating. Looked a little bit like the way I put it on Twitter. If I scroll down, it looked like a Steelers preseason game, if not necessarily a Steelers game. There was a real fun atmosphere over there. And, of course, the coolest part that I can tell you from talking to some of the Pirates players and coaches after the game was nobody left. If you looked around the stadium, in the bottom of the eighth, even in the ninth inning, you didn't see many empty seats. And there weren't any fireworks afterward either. I mean, people hung around and enjoyed the game.
And Dan, as far as the overall feel for this club, you were with them through some lean times. You somehow escaped, and we're happy for you in that regard. But you've been around this team enough to feel something decidedly different than just a year ago.
Well, there is. And then that was one of the things. I was actually talking to Ryan Domet about that over the weekend. And his answer very quickly was, it's just more fun. And I said, what are you referring to, just, the games? And he said, no, even the general atmosphere is. He said, we're in the clubhouse. We're having fun. He referred to it almost as a frat house. He said, in the dugout, we're poking fun of each other. When somebody's getting a little bit too high, find a playful way to knock him down. It's a good atmosphere. And when I ask these guys, who does that come from? Who's the leader on a team? Everybody points to the manager's office. I mean, there isn't one of those like, well, we think so-and-so is the leader of our team, some, veteran or something like that. Everybody points to the manager's office. If you know anything about Clint Hurdle, he's loud. He's everywhere. And he's really loud some other times.
I think the mix of players, though, is pretty good, too. And I guess maybe they're allowed to be. Is that it? You get guys like Hanrahan and Meek and some of those guys can be, I don't know if character might be a little bit too much, but you think that they were kind of suppressed a little bit or just didn't feel like they could be themselves before?
I would not suggest for a second that John Russell suppressed anybody. He might have depressed.
Right, exactly.
I think that you're looking at a guy whose personality in John Russell was 180 degrees the opposite of Hurdle's. And that I think there are different teams that need to have different buttons pushed. And Russell might be one of those guys who, if he'd had a veteran team, everybody would have said, wow, look how consistent he stays. Look how whatever. That's really what we need as a team. Well, a team with a personality, the dominant personalities that the Pirates have in particular, a guy like Neil Walker is very outgoing. Hanrahan and Meek, as you mentioned, Jim, are they're joking type of guys. Ryan Domus got a little bit of a big mouth in a good way. They have players that maybe needed to have some of that brought out in them. And I think that in particular for this team with a young team, with a team that's got, when it's going well, has a little bit of, I don't want to say swagger, we're talking about the Pirates, but you know what I mean. You know, they have a confident air about them when things are going well.
It's a Fan Morning Show with Dayan Kovacic of the Post-Gazette. His DK on Sports blog, a must-read for the Pittsburgh sports fan every morning. Make sure that you check it out as we do here at the Fan Morning Show. Before we move on to something else, what do you make of this Siriaco story? Is this something that people should be paying attention to? And you've been around the most ridiculous of the ridiculous, like the contract extensions last year, whatever it may be. Should this be something that people get upset about, or is it just another dumb sort of story?
Well, let's wait. As I've written on the blog, let's wait to see what the Pirates come up with on this one. The whole story, and I'm sure you guys have been over on the air, there's no need for me to repeat it, is so absurd. It's so ridiculous. It's like something out of Major League that you wonder if it wasn't just somebody that was just kind of playing a hoax on the Indianapolis TV broadcasters or whatever, because they did get on the Indianapolis television and talk about this throughout the game, that this is the reason that Siriaco wasn't playing, was somebody was hitting baseballs at him because he was being lazy. It's crazy. I can tell you that the people on the Pirates front office in Pittsburgh are just furious about it, and they are looking for answers, and they're going to try to come up with something that they hope gets to the bottom of it. So at the same time, you know, as I've written on the blog, the Pirates have this culture of weird, bizarre secrecy over silly things, including little personnel moves like Pedro Siriaco coming to Pittsburgh, that maybe that culture of it contributed to it in some small way.
And why are you bringing up a guy that's hitting .190?
Well, that one I get. They needed a middle infielder, and they know whoever's coming up isn't going to be playing every day. So you don't, in that situation, bring up a legitimate prospect. You bring up somebody who can just play shortstop for you if you need him in the 13th inning.
Fair enough.
Does Paul Mahalem need to wear a disguise the next time he pitches so that his teammates don't realize who he is?
I think he's run into some bad matchups, too. I mean, he's had just the worst luck. I mean, you look at the way Rick Porcello pitched yesterday for Detroit, nobody was going to score a run on him. That's not something where the Pirates were mentally going, oh, no, Mahalem's on the hill, we got to try harder. I mean, Porcello was just really, really good. You know, people don't realize, in Mahalem being 1-7, he also, remember, had two games that he lost because the bullpen blew saves for him. So this isn't just about the offense letting him down. The thing that concerns me about Mahalem is that sort of thing evens out. The offense thing is going to even out for him over time. He's going to have, maybe the next time he goes out, the Pirates are going to score 11 for him, and everybody's going to laugh about it. What you don't want to see is Mahalem evening out, because to his credit, he's been very, very consistent and steady for the Pirates. I think all season there was one start of his in Denver that I wasn't crazy about, but he's been really good. And what you don't want to see is him kind of coming back to earth at the same time the other thing moves back to equilibrium, if you know what I mean. Mahalem needs to just stay consistent for the first time in his career and try to maintain that.
Check out Dayan's blog today. He ranks the Penguins free agents in order of priority to be kept for Ray Shiro. You can agree, disagree with that list, but a very, very fun thing to read this morning. Dayan, are we okay, me and you, the relationship now?
We'll get by, Greg.
Okay. All right. Wow. Very good. Good to hear.
Seemed to be a little, I don't know. I think that was a diplomatic response.
Dayan, thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Scroll down, Greg.